This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue our series bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, our story, a chronological overview of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, this is our fifth lesson, our fifth halaqa, our fifth majlis episode bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. In our last halaqa, our last majlis, we discussed the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his migration from Makkah al-Mukarrama to Medina al-Munawwara, that hijra, and that is the incident upon which our calendar is based, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we talked about the preparations with regards to that hijra. We talked about the year 10 after prophethood, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meeting these individuals from Yathrib, Medina al-Munawwara. The following year, 11 after prophethood, the first pledge of Aqaba given to him during the days of Hajj. The following year, 12 after prophethood, the second pledge of Aqaba. Now these people from Medina al-Munawwara state, we will support you, we will protect you, you rather come to Medina al-Munawwara. We discuss the efforts of the Quraysh in Makkah al-Mukarrama, trying to put an end to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his da'wah, them coming together at Dar al-Nadwa and plotting to assassinate Muhammad ibn Abdullah salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. We talked about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and permission from Allah. We talked about him going in the opposite direction of Medina al-Munawwara. He didn't head towards the north, rather he went south and remained with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala in the cave for 3 nights. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we discussed those matters in great detail, walhamdulillah. We talked about him entering into Medina al-Munawwara, him settling at the area of Quba, him mentioning the famous hadith of Salam, the one who gives Salam, this individual will enter paradise in a state of Salam. Also, this hadith was narrated by who? By Abdullah ibn As-Salam, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we discussed, we learned about the mu'akha, the brotherhood between the muhajirin and the ansar. We learned about where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam settled, in whose house did he live. We talked about those matters. Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, joining the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some days later, him lying in the bed of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, putting himself in peril, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we talked about the makeup, the dynamics, the demographics in Medina al-Munawwara. You had the Jewish tribes, the three of them we discussed. We also talked about Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, this individual who in reality was most likely going to be the leader of the people of Medina. And here comes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as we would say, pulls the carpet from under the feet of this Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, and what eventually transpires with regards to that individual. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we talked about the effects of this hijrah. We talked about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the tashri'at, the rules and regulations which came down after the hijrah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we now move on to our fifth majlis, and bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we will be discussing the years 623-624. What occurs here? This is the second and third years after the hijrah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember that in the Hijri calendar, we do not have 0 AH. We do not have 0 AH. The year that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the migration, technically that year is the year of the Hijrah, and the historians record it as one after Hijrah. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam now, subhanAllah, receives the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the changing of the Qibla. For all of the months before this, they were facing towards Jerusalem, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was waiting in anticipation. He wanted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the Qibla direction from Jerusalem al-Quds to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And we discussed this matter that was even a fitna for some individuals. That why we turning one direction and then another direction, etc., etc. But we discussed this matter in great detail, walhamdulillah, for about 1 year and 4 months. In Medina al-Munawwara, our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam was facing towards Jerusalem, and then hereafter now facing towards Makkah al-Mukarrama. And we discussed the detail of Masjid Qiblatain, the Masjid of the two Qiblas, and we said that Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he mentions when the Qibla change occurred, some people even left the fold of al-Islam, Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as we mentioned now, this occurred between the second and the third years of the Hijrah. Then, subhanAllah, we had Yawm al-Furqan. We will have and we will discuss this turning point. This turning point when Abu Jahl, the Fir'aun of this Ummah, is lying dead. When Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the one who tortured Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, is lying dead. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, the criminal who put those intestines on the back of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in prayer, this individual is lying dead. We are talking about the battle of Badr, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. The Muslims, they gain a tremendous victory at the great battle of Badr, plus minus 130 kilometers southwest of Medina al-Munawwara. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the battle of Badr, Yawm al-Furqan, the criterion between Haqq and Batil, that day there separated between Haqq and Batil. On one side you had the Nabi, on one side you had the Ansar and the Muhajirin, on the other hand you had the Meccans, the Quraysh, the criminals, the Fir'aun of this Ummah, those who were dirty in their speech and dirty in their actions, those who had forced the Muslims out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. On one hand, the party of Jannah. On the other hand, the party of Hell. On one hand, you had angels with the Muslims. And on the other side, you had Shaitan, the devil, who eventually will flee. He will eventually flee. But he was there. He was there with the Meccans. And so, Yawm al-Furqan. We find that Suratul Anfal, or as it's called, the Surah of Badr, it was revealed in the aftermath of this battle. And this battle, subhanAllah, this great battle of Badr, it completely destroyed the reputation of the Quraysh, subhanAllah. That these people, we forced Muhammad out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Well, fast forward, within 2-3 years, you meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in battle, and he completely destroys you people. Over 70 of the Quraysh killed, and over 70 taken prisoner, subhanAllah. The main heads of the Quraysh dead, as we will discuss bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, remember that now the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in Medina al-Munawwara. And we know, and we've already discussed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission to fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission to now fight. And so we had the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam sending out the expedition, Saif al-Bahr, with Hamza radiallahu ta'ala in charge, the Ghazwa al-Abwa. We also had Sariya of Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. We had the Ghazwa of Buat. We had the Ghazwa of Ushayra, where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, he went out, and that expedition there, or that Ghazwa, is called the Small Badr, Badr al-Sughra. What happened? We find that the Quraysh, they put all of their money together, and the usual thing is that they are merchants and they send out their trade caravans. And so this large qafila, this large group of caravans are all headed towards Sham. And all of these sariya, all of these expeditions, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam aim and objective was to intercept these caravans of the Quraysh. Why? Because these people have taken our property. They've kicked us out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Whatever we can get back of our wealth, then we have the legitimacy to do that. We are at war with the people of Makkah. We will try to cut off their trade routes bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And so, Ghazwa Ushayra, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes out. They got word that there's the caravan of the Quraysh which is heading towards Sham. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the others, they tried to intercept it in the month of Jumad al-Akhir. This is plus minus 16 months after the Hijrah. But unfortunately, they were not successful in intercepting this caravan which was being led by Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, he is the father of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Sufyan's wife is Hind. At the moment, they are not Muslims. Fast forward. Then we also had the Sariyatun Nakhla, which was led by Abdullah ibn Jahsh. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose these individuals, gave them their marching orders, and gave them a letter. You only open this letter after 2 days of journey. When they read up this matter, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends them in the opposite direction, that you guys should head towards this direction and check up on these caravans, what is the movement of these caravans, etc. And we find that Abdullah ibn Jahsh, it was the last day of Rajab. And in the month of Rajab, technically it's one of those sacred months, you are not supposed to start fighting. And so it's the last day of Rajab, but they also find that this caravan, this group of the Quraysh, they will soon enter within the haram boundaries, the sanctified boundaries, where you cannot fight, you cannot interfere, etc. So between a rock and a hard place. Today, it's the month of Rajab. So we can't really fight. But if we leave matters, these people are going to enter within the haram boundaries. And we know there's an issue there. And so they decided what to do. They decided that we'll go ahead and we will attack. And so they attacked. And they had taken some prisoners. They had taken booty, etc. And they returned to Medina al-Munawwara and give this to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not happy with this. I didn't give you people the orders to do this here. And also, it's the month of Rajab. And the Meccans, they were outraged. They went, it was like a public cry that they went out on. And they look at these Muslims, it's the sacred month, and look at what they are doing, and they have no respect and honor, etc., etc. And subhanAllah, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told these companions, I cannot accept all of this booty. But then Allah sent down revelation that you Meccans, what moral authority do you people have? You want to talk about sacred? You want to talk about sanctified, etc.? You, the people who have done all of this wrong, you are the last people who have any sort of moral authority. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ وَصَدٌ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That all of this wrong that you people do, it is worse than fighting in these sacred months. What you people have done, O Meccans, is a million times worse than what these Muslims have done. And that's in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 217. So all of this is going on. Remember again, we had Ghazwa Ushayra, where the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to intercept the caravan of the Quraysh, Abu Sufyan in charge. They are headed up towards Sham. Well, obviously the caravan is going to go back down. And so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alert to this matter. And Abu Sufyan himself, he himself is alert to this matter. They've had previous caravans which were attacked, etc. And so they are very, very wary with regards to this matter. Fast forward. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets news about the caravan of Abu Sufyan on its return journey. It's now Ramadan. It's now the month of Ramadan. And so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam announces, whoever is ready, let's go now. Let's go now. Whoever is ready, we are going to intercept the caravan of the Quraysh. Whoever is ready, we have no time to prepare. We have no time to wait for somebody. He's got his animal at the edge of town. He's doing this. We got no time for all of that. Whoever is ready now, let's go. Important. What's their mission? These Muslims, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ansar, the Muhajireen, the immigrants, the helpers, the Sahaba, what's their intention? They are leaving Medina al-Munawwara to intercept the caravan of the Quraysh, which doesn't have any army with it or anything like that. That's their intention. But subhanAllah, Allah wants a battle to occur, which is the battle of Badr. They will miss the caravan. Abu Sufyan will return to Mecca with the caravan, plus minus 1,000 camels. Loaded with goods, as many of the historians mention. The Muslims will not get this, but they will get something better. They will get the Battle of Badr. They will get the heads of these criminals. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever's ready, let's go now. Plus minus between 313 to 319 of the Sahaba, they all get together. From them, there's around 82 to 86 of the Muhajirun. So, the Muhajirun plus minus 82 to 86. And then the rest of them are from the Ansar, broken up into 61 from the Aus and 170 from the Khazraj. So, the Ansar contingent, 231. Muhajirin contingent, between 82 to 86. And the Ansar, 231. Giving a total of 313 to 319. SubhanAllah. They only had 70 camels amongst all of them. They only had two horses. They only had two horses. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The three individuals used to share one camel or one horse. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, he didn't join because he's looking after the daughter of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ruqayya, who was ill. Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, he remained behind. He was put in charge of leading the salah in the masjid. And so these 313 or 319, they leave Medina al-Munawwara with the intention of intercepting the caravan of Abu Sufyan. We find, subhanAllah, even a youngster, Umayr ibn Abi Waqas, this is the younger brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. He was young, and so he was turned away. And he was crying. And because he was crying, he was about 15, 16 years old, and so he began to cry, no, I want to come, I want to go out. And so then he was allowed, and subhanAllah, he will be from amongst the 14 Muslim martyrs. May Allah accept from them. This youngster, from amongst the 14 martyrs from amongst the Muslims. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, imagine. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best man who walked the face of this earth, he's in his 50s right now. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, youngster. Abu Lubaba, also youngster. All three of them are sharing one camel. The Muslims had 70 camels and two horses. And what's their number? 319. 313 to 319. Every three of them sharing one camel. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali and Abu Lubaba are sharing one animal and one camel. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, you ride it. We will walk, no issue, no problem. Look at our Nabi. Look at the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? Ma antuma bi aqwa minni wa la ana bi aghna anil ajr minkuma. You people are not any stronger than me, nor am I of any less need with regards to reward from Allah. I'm also needy for reward from Allah, and you people are not any stronger than me. And so we will continue and we will have our turns. Reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. Later on, at a place called Ruha, this Abu Lubaba, he is returned. He is given his orders to go back to Medina al-Munawwara and to be in charge. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali and Mirthad ibn Abi Marthad, Mirthad ibn Abi Marthad, three of them, they now share this one camel, subhanAllah. There was also a mushrik, non-Muslim, pagan. He wanted to join on the Muslim side. And three times he came and he wanted to join. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, la astaeen bi mushrik. I will not take any help from a disbeliever. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned him down once, twice, thrice. Eventually he says, okay, I am Muslim, I become Muslim. And then he joined, walhamdulillah. We find on the way, Hudhayfa ibn Yaman and his father Hakam, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba come across them, and they were heading towards Medina al-Munawwara, and they had given a promise to the Quraysh that they will not fight against the Quraysh. And so they were given safe passage to go to Medina al-Munawwara. And so they mentioned this, Ya Rasulullah, you know, this is the story, this is what we've agreed with them, and so we've given them this assurance, should we join you or not? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you people do not join us because you have given them that promise, so honor that promise, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as for Abu Sufyan now, he gets wind of the Muslims' plans. And so he diverted his route and he sends word to the Meccans for assistance. And remember that majority of the Meccans, they have invested in these caravans, in the stray caravan. And so they're worried about their money. They are worried about their money. And Abu Sufyan sends Bombom ibn Amr al-Ghifari, go to the Meccans and tell them to come and assist and protect and safeguard their camels, safeguard their wealth, because we are at peril right now. And so Abu Sufyan, he diverts the caravans, and eventually he was successful in this. He was successful in this here. We find that also in Makkah, some days before Atika bint Abdul Muttalib, this is the aunt of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she sees in a dream, there's an individual there, and this person like warns the people of Makkah, and eventually he goes up on one of the mountains, and like this rock comes down and it hits many of the houses or most of the houses of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And so she was worried about this dream and its interpretation, and so she mentions this to her brother Al-Abbas. Remember Atika, Al-Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father, Abdullah, they are all brother and sisters. And so she mentions it to her brother Al-Abbas, and he told Walid ibn Utbah, who informed his father Utbah, who eventually informed Abu Jahl about this. So this dream here in Makkah, before this bomb had come to Makkah al-Mukarramah, she had this dream, she saw this here, she told her brother told Walid ibn Utbah, he told his father mentioned it to Abu Jahl because they were friends. And so Abu Jahl comes to Al-Abbas, he says, oh, it's not enough that you people, Banu Hashim, that you claim that you have a prophet amongst you people. Now also your women also, you've got female prophetesses, mashallah. So he's making fun of this matter. And then soon after, this dom comes and he's howling and screaming and saying, woe to the Quraysh, you people need to go and you people need to assist and you need to protect and you need to look after your trade caravan, otherwise you're going to lose all of this wealth. And so the Quraysh, they mobilize. They get together, plus minus between 1,000 to 1,300. They have 100 horses amongst them. Abu Jahl is in charge of this expedition now. They are red in rage. But we find that Abu Lahab, uncle of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't go out. He says, you know what, you ask Ibn Hisham, you owe me some money, and so in exchange for this debt, you go in my place. In exchange for this debt here, I wipe off the debt, and you go in my place. Nonetheless, most of them, they all get together, and they head out, and they are red with rage. Eventually, Abu Sufyan maneuvers himself out of peril and he sends word to the Quraysh, you know what, return, it's all safe now. I've managed to maneuver myself out of danger and you people can return to Mecca. There's no issue, there's no problem, all is safe. Abu Jahl says, no, not at all. We will continue and we will go to Badr. We will camp there, we will party there, we'll have our woman with us, we will merry make, and the Arabs will talk about this here. This is our honor, our sharaf, etc. Now they'll talk about this here and how Muhammad was unsuccessful, etc., etc. So Abu Jahl was adamant, we continue. There were others like Akhnas ibn Shariq or Shurik of Banu Zuhra. He says, no, I'm returning. And he took the whole Banu Zuhra tribe back to Mecca al-Mukarrama. We also find the brother of Ali, radiallahu ta'ala an, Talib ibn Abi Talib, he also returned back to Mecca al-Mukarrama. Some of Banu Hashim, they also wanted to return, but Abu Jahl was adamant, no, what return? You people cannot return. And this occurred at the area called Juhfa. And so the Meccans continue their march. They are on the march. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eventually he makes mashura with the muhajirin and the ansar. He asks him, this is the story now. What do we do? What do you people say? Abu Bakr says, Ya Rasulullah, we continue. And if we have to fight, we will fight. We will not say like others have said, you know, to the Anbiya, you go ahead, we will remain here, we will not fight. No, we will go ahead. Abu Bakr says the same. Umar says the same. Then we also had that Miqdad, he also mentions the same. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking, and anyone else with opinion. Then we have Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he says, it seems, Ya Rasulullah, that you want to hear from the Ansar. Because Abu Bakr, Umar, Miqdad, they are all from the Muhajirin. And they've come from Mecca al-Mukarramah. They have strong beef with the people of Mecca. But the Ansar, technically, they didn't sign up for all of this. When they gave the pledge of allegiance to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the pledges of Aqaba, that we will protect you. Meaning that in Medina al-Munawwara, but not go out and fight some battle outside of Medina al-Munawwara. Technically, they've not signed up for this here. And so Sa'd ibn Mu'az says, Ya Rasulullah, it seems you want to hear from us, meaning the Ansar. And so he said the same. He says, we believe in you, we will obey you. Even if you ordered us into the ocean, into the sea, we are ready. You lead us and we will follow. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with the words of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an. The Muslims eventually they reach and arrive at Badr and they camped near the first wells. Habab or Hubab ibn Mundhir, he asks, Ya Rasulullah, is it a divine order that we should be camped here, or is this your like personal opinion? I mean, look at this, subhanAllah. Look at this companion. Look at the, you know, the fact that he was comfortable enough to even ask the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question like that. They've settled somewhere near these wells. Then he comes, Ya Rasulullah, our settling here. Is this from revelation, divine order from Allah, that's why you decided to settle here? Or is this your personal opinion? I'd like to know. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my personal opinion. Then Hubab ibn Mundhir says, well, if that's the case, Ya Rasulullah, I think it's better if we go further than settling in this place here. In terms of tactic, another place would be better. I know of a better place, a better place for us to camp would give us greater strength over the enemy, greater maneuvering over the enemy. That's a better option. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him out, number one. Number two, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted his suggestion. Subhanallah. Brothers, sisters, ponder over that. That this companion was comfortable enough to question the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whether this was revelation or whether this was his personal opinion. Another companion later on in history comes, Ya Rasulullah, you give me permission to commit zina. Look at the comfort. There was no barrier between them and asking the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were comfortable enough. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was somebody who they could approach, subhanallah. The Muslims, they capture two individuals in charge of watering the animals of the Quraysh. captured them, and eventually they got some information out of them. They found out that the Quraysh were like slaughtering 9 to 10 animals, and so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this indicates that the numbers of the Quraysh are between 900 to 1,000. It was Ali Az-Zubair and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas who went out reconnaissance mission, and they captured these two individuals who were in charge of watering the animals of the Quraysh. And now they've got this information. We know the number of the Quraysh, plus minus 900 to 1,000, subhanallah. As for the Muslims, we had Mus'ab ibn Umair, who was given the white standard. What's the benefit of these standards? The flag, what's the benefit of this? Well, it's a very, very important role, because we will continue to fight in battle for as long as that flag, that standard is raised. And that means also that the enemy will always concentrate on the one who is carrying that flag, because they will try to bring it down. Bring it down, and then many of those fighting will flee. They will leave because the standards come down. And so you will be the center of the attack if you are carrying that flag. Also, you are impaired because one hand to carry the flag and you're fighting with only one hand, subhanAllah. And so Mus'ab, he had the white flag. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was given one of the black flags. And an Ansari, he was given one of the other black flags. The Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent that entire night in dua, making dua to, oh Allah, if this party, if this group of people, if these who are with me, if they are finished, if they are killed off, who's going to worship you, oh Allah? Will Allah grant victory to the Muslims? He spent his entire night in dua. In fact, even Abu Bakr was like worried about the Rasul sallallahu, ya Rasulullah, don't worry, Allah will give us victory. You don't need to do this, ya Rasulullah. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed that night. That night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent like a good, nice drizzle upon the Muslims. Many of them had a good sleep, masha'Allah, walhamdulillah. We find that on the side of the Meccans, as we will discuss, you have the army of Shaitan. And so literally Shaitan was there on their side. We find Abu Jahl was there, the Fir'aun of this Ummah, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the torturer of Bilal, Utsba ibn Rabi'a, this individual here who came to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam previously, that he offered women to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He offered money, he offered position. Then the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Are you done? Are you over, O Utba ibn Rabi'a, the father of Hind, the father of Hind and the grandfather of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala?" He says, "Yes, I'm done." Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited to him 38 verses of Surah Fussilat. The man left, the man was like flabbergasted. He goes back to his cronies amongst the Quraysh and he was like, you know, I don't know what's going on, subhanAllah. It's the same Utba ibn Rabi'a. During the journey to Ta'if, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was approached by this youngster by the name of Addas, and he brought some grapes for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this was in the garden of this Utba ibn Rabi'a. It's this Utba who said to him, "Take this here and go and give that Muhammad." He showed some sort of like mercy for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And subhanAllah, the same Utba, he didn't really want to fight in this battle of Badr. He will say to Abu Jahl that, "You know what, I think we should return. I think we should go back." And Abu Jahl will say to him, "It's because you are afraid. It's because you're a coward. And it's because your son is fighting on the side of the Muslims. Your son is in the party of the Muslims. That's why you are a coward." And so he says, "I'm not a coward. I'm not a coward." And so because of that, him wanting to show that he is not a coward, he even goes forward and he says, "Yeah, myself and my brother Shayba and my son Walid, we will go out and duel the Muslims at the beginning of the battle." And so Utba ibn Rabi'a, Shayba ibn Rabi'a, and Walid ibn Utba, they're the ones who go out and they face Hamza, and they face Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and they face Ubaidah ibn al-Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib in the duel, as we will discuss. But this is that individual Utba ibn Rabi'a, and his son is on the side of the Muslims. End of this battle, Utba will be dead. Shayba ibn Rabi'a, he will eventually be killed. Al-Abbas, uncle of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is also on the side of the Quraysh. But he says eventually, and he was taken prisoner, that I didn't have a choice. I was like forced in this matter. Aqil ibn Abi Talib, brother of Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, also taken prisoner. Hanzala ibn Abi Sufyan, the son of Abu Sufyan. So Abu Sufyan managed to outmaneuver the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba in terms of the caravan. But his son is fighting on the side of the Quraysh and is killed. His son Hanzala is killed. And his other son by the name of Amr ibn Abi Sufyan, he is taken a prisoner. And subhanAllah, later on Abu Sufyan will not want to ransom his son. He will say, no, I'm not going to pay the ransom. One son was killed and now I must also give my money to these people. And so he will not want to ransom and pay anything. Rather, he will capture one of the Muslims and eventually an exchange will be arranged between that Muslim and in exchange for Abu Sufyan's son. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', son-in-law of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, husband of Zainab, he is also captured. He will be taken as a prisoner, as we will discuss. Suhail ibn Amr, one of the leaders of the Qurayshi tribes, he will be taken prisoner. And Walid ibn al-Walid, this is the brother of Khalid ibn Walid. Brother of Khalid ibn Walid, he will also be captured and will be taken and be taken prisoner. Allah musta'an. As we will discuss, many of them later on in history will become Muslim. In fact, Khalid's brother, very soon after, even long before Khalid ibn Walid, he will become Muslim. But right now, they are with the party of the Quraysh. Allah musta'an. With regards to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', the son-in-law of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember that Zainab, she got married to her cousin, Khadija's sister by the name of Hala. This is her son. So Hala's son, Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', got married to Zainab, and eventually Zainab will send her necklace to ransom her husband, as we will discuss insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the actual Badr, the actual battle of Badr. This is now the Friday. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the night in making dua. We are now the day of Friday, the early morning, 17th of Ramadan, the year 2 after the Hijrah. This is the morning. This is in the morning. And it's March the 17th, the year 624 of the Common Era. March 17, 624 of the Common Era. It's called Yawm al-Furqan. We find that, subhanAllah, just before the battle, Abdullah ibn Suhail, Suhail ibn Amr, one of the leaders of the Quraysh. Well, his son Abdullah, who was with him, swaps sides and he joins the Muslims, walhamdulillah. When the Muslims are being lined up, there's a beautiful incident of Sawad ibn Ghaziyya. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lining up the lines and he pushes this Sawad into place. And Sawad says, Ya Rasulullah, I want qisas, that you've hurt me, like in my belly, in my stomach. And you've hurt me. I want qisas. I want to do the same to you. I want to hurt you back. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay. And so in front there, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like lifts up his shirt, and Sawad, he doesn't hit the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and poke him or anything like that. Rather, he touches the skin of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he say? That's all I wanted. I just wanted to touch your skin. My day here, maybe I'm martyred. I wanted the last thing here, that I touched your skin. Subhanallah. Look at the justice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A soldier in the army there says, you've hurt me, small poke. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ready in front of everyone to allow justice to be served. Subhanallah. So the Meccans, they come out. And Utbah, as we discussed, he was called a coward. So he says, I'm going out for a duel. Utbah ibn Rabi'a, the father of Hind. Shayba ibn Rabi'a, the uncle of Hind. Walid ibn Utbah, the brother of Hind. Three of them, they go out. They are from the tribe of Abd Shams. It's this also, this Utbah, we know that, subhanAllah, once Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an was in the haram, and he was beaten up by this Utbah. Beaten up by this Utbah. Until some would say that you couldn't even recognize the nose of Abu Bakr from the rest of his face. He was beaten up so badly, subhanAllah. And so here this Utbah, he comes out. And then from the Muslims, who goes out? Auf ibn al-Harith, Mu'awwidh ibn al-Harith, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha from the Ansar. All three from the Ansar. We will find that Mu'awwidh ibn al-Harith, he eventually is one of those who attacks Abu Jahl. But right now, when they went out, Utbah and others said, no, we don't have beef with you guys. Ansar, we're not interested in you people from Medina. We want our people from Makkah to come out. We want the Muhajireen, we want them to come out, the Meccans. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Ali, you go out. Hamza goes out. Ubaidah ibn al-Harith goes out. Important to note, these three individuals were from the family of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them are from Banu Hashim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not keeping his family at the back there, keep you safe. No. Puts them in the line of peril. Puts them forward. Ali is his cousin. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala is his uncle. Ubaidah ibn al-Harith is also his cousin. Ubaidah ibn al-Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib. And so, Ali faces Walid ibn Utbah and kills him. Hamza faces Shayba ibn Rabi'ah and kills him. And Ubaidah ibn al-Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib and Utbah, they fight there and each one injures the other. Until, subhanAllah, Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, his leg was cut and he was injured severely. Until later on, some days later, he will eventually pass away, subhanAllah. And subhanAllah, when he passes away, he was married to Zainab bint Khuzaymah. He was married to, for your info, he was married to Zainab bint Khuzaymah. This cousin of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was married to Zainab bin Khuzaymah, and eventually after her iddah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will marry her. And so that's when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will marry Zainab bint Khuzaymah, who is one of our mothers, one of the mothers of the believers. So right now, Ubaidah ibn al-Harith is injured severely, and Utbah also injured. And so Ali and Hamza assist Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, and they finish off that Utbah. So, subhanAllah, this is, the battle hasn't started yet. It's the duel, one side here, one side there, and this duel occurring in the middle. What's the benefit of this duel? I mean, subhanAllah, it now gave the Muslims a psychological advantage over the Meccans. We have confidence, the confidence of the Muslims very high now. And so, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, criminal, dead. Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, criminal, dead. Walid ibn Utbah, criminal, dead. Subhanallah. And so eventually the battle begins. The Muslims, the war cry of the Muslims was, Ya Mansur Amit, Ya Mansur Amit. O those whom Allah has made victorious, slay, kill. I mean, subhanAllah, look at the confidence in that statement. Mansur meaning the ones who Allah has already given victory to. That we are the ones who Allah has given victory to. Amit, slay, kill them. Finish off the enemy. We find that Umayr ibn Abi Waqas, that 15-year-old youngster who cried and he wanted to join in, he was martyred, subhanAllah. One of the first casualties amongst the Muslims was Haritha ibn Suraqa. This youngster, some say he was not even fighting in the battle, he was there to assist the Muslims, and he was drinking water, and an arrow shot him in his throat, and he was killed. And later on his mother asks, because technically he wasn't really killed in the thick of battle, you know, is he going to Jannah? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he will be in Firdaus, subhanallah, he will be in Firdaus. Also you had one of the servants of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, by the name of Mihja al-Akki. This individual was one of the first martyrs on the side of the Muslims. Umayr ibn Abi Waqas, youngster, 15, 16 years old, younger brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he is martyred. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself, he fought physically, didn't just remain at the back, no. In fact, people would seek safety by being near the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was brave and he was in the thick of matters. And what's his age? He's 53 years old, subhanAllah. He's not a youngster. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but strong and powerful and mighty at the age of 53, mashaAllah. Umayr ibn Hamam al-Ansari, he hears that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever is martyred, for them is paradise, which is the size of the heavens and the earth. And so he has these dates in his hand. And he says, if that's the case, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I'm wasting my time. If I eat all of these dates here, it is time being wasted. He threw the dates away and he went into the thick of battle and he fought and he was martyred, radiallahu ta'ala an, Umayr ibn Hammam. There's also the miracle of Ukasha, that he didn't have a sword and he had this like stick or twigs, and this turned into a sword and he fought with it, subhanallah. The angels came on the side of the Muslims, Jibreel wearing a turban. Az-Zubair, radiallahu ta'ala an, he had a yellow turban, and so the angels also had yellow turbans on the side of the Quraysh, on the side of the Meccans. We had Iblis, Shaitan there, and eventually he flees. What does he say? Inni bari'um minkum. I see what you people don't see. Inni bari'um minkum. I am distancing myself from you people, and Shaitan fled. Allahu musta'an. Abu Ubaidah, the famous companion, one of the famous 10 granted the glad tidings of paradise. He killed his own father in the thick of battle, subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Muslims that do not interfere with Al-Abbas, my uncle, and do not interfere with Abu al-Bukhtari. Abu al-Bukhtari is one of those who helped in ending the boycott which was placed upon the Muslims. And so don't interfere with Abu al-Bukhtari and Al-Abbas and a few others. Al-Abbas, because he's come against his will. Remember, Al-Abbas, just before the Hijrah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met with the people from Medina at the second pledge of Aqaba, Al-Abbas was there. He was facilitating the escape of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah. Well, here now he's there in the thick of battle, fighting on the side of the Quraysh. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Don't kill him," because he had come out and he was forced in this matter. Unfortunately, Abu al-Bukhtari, he eventually was killed. Why? What happened? One of the Muslims comes across him and doesn't want to kill him and says, "You know what, this safety you've been guaranteed." And he says, "What about my friend here?" The Muslim says, "He's got no guarantee, so we're ready to fight." And so Abu al-Bukhtari said, "Well, in that case, I will not allow my friend to be killed and myself to be saved," and people talk about that. So he fought against the Muslims and he was killed. Jayid. We find that Abu Hudhayfa, the son of Utbah, ibn Rabi'ah, the one who had come out in the duel and was killed. So the son Abu Hudhayfa was fighting on the side of the Muslims. And he said, like, I mean, but why the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying don't interfere with Al-Abbas, but our parents and our relatives and all of these people, you know, it's free to attack them, but Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family, they saved? I mean, this doesn't sound right. Oh, he made a mistake in saying that, subhanallah. And he would say later on that, what's this? I regretted that statement. Allahu musta'an. There were two youngsters who asked Abdurrahman ibn Auf that, "Show us, where is Abu Jahl? Who is this Abu Jahl?" He says, "Why?" He says, "Because we've heard that he slanders the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and so we want to kill him." And so Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh and Mu'awwid ibn Afra, these two youngsters, they are eventually shown that it is Abu Jahl. And they go after him. They go after him and they attack him. And eventually they injure him severely. And while doing that, one of them, this Mu'adh ibn Amr, he was attacked by Ikrimah. He was attacked by Abu Jahl's son Ikrimah. Ikrimah later on will become Muslim, but right now fighting on the wrong side. And so, subhanallah, this youngster, Mu'adh ibn Amr, his arm is held on just by like a tendon. And so it's just hanging there. And so it's difficult for him to fight. What does he do? He places his foot upon it and he rips it apart. He removes it, subhanallah. He lived for many, many years after that. But this is what he had done in this battle, in the battle of Badr. And those two youngsters, they severely injured this Fir'aun of this ummah, Abu Jahl. Allah musta'an. And who eventually finishes Abu Jahl off? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was somebody in Makkah, he was like an insignificant individual. Insignificant individual in Makkah, later on in history, becomes so significant. In fact, the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, a lot of it is based upon the fiqh of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the Imam of Kufa, walhamdulillah. Ibn Mas'ud finishes off this Abu Jahl. And when he was about to kill Abu Jahl looked up at him and said, "Oh you, You know, you've climbed high, you little shepherd. I mean, you've become something now, you little shepherd. Allahu musta'an. Remember that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was the shepherd of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. Who will be killed in this battle? The one who put the camel's intestines on the back of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he saw Uqba putting the camel's intestines on the back of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in Makkah, I couldn't do anything. That's my master. I mean, Uqba, I work for him. I couldn't do anything. If I went forward, they would have beaten me and maybe killed me. Fast forward, he is the one who kills the Fir'aun of this ummah. He is the one who kills Abu Jahl, subhanallah. Abu Jahl, the one who had killed Sumayya, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The one who had done so much of wrong, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, that's honor for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Remember, Abu Jahl killed Sumayya. Abu Jahl beating that slave woman by the name of Zinnira. He's the one who went to the house of Abu Bakr when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated and he slapped Asma across her face, subhanallah. That's Abu Jahl dead. Umayya ibn Khalaf, the torturer of Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was big in size, he was fat, and himself and his son Ali, they find Abdurrahman ibn Auf and they say, you know what, we surrender to you, you protect us. He was the leader of the Jumah tribe. And so Abdurrahman ibn Auf gave him protection, took him as a prisoner. But Bilal saw this. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala saw this and he screams out tears, Umayya ibn Khalaf, the devil, the shaitan, the criminal. And there's no treaty, there's nothing, it's free for all here. And so the Ansar and others, they join and they all pounced upon Umayya ibn Khalaf. And they pounced upon his son and they were killed. They were killed. This Umayya ibn Khalaf is the one who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah and said, you know what? You worship our lords one day and we will worship your lords one day. He's the one beating and beating and beating Bilal. Subhanallah, he's dead. He's killed. And subhanallah, we find that about 24 leaders of the Quraysh, their bodies were dumped in an unused well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, have you people found the promise of Allah to be true? Because I have found the promise of Allah to be true. He addressed them by name. Have you found the promise of Allah to be true? Umar says, ya Rasulullah, you're speaking to dead bodies. I mean, they can't hear. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that they can hear me right now, just like how you can hear me. And many scholars say this was a miracle given to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that moment, that these people were made to hear as punishment upon them. As for Umayya ibn Khalaf, because his body was so big and it began to like decompose, etc., etc., his body was not put into this well here. When they lifted it up, it was like disintegrating, and so they just left it where he was killed and threw some sand over it. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, Utba ibn Rabi'a dead, Shayba ibn Rabi'a dead, Abu Jahl dead, Umayya ibn Khalaf dead. From amongst the Muslims, there were 14 martyrs. 4 from the Ansar and 6 from the Muhajirin. Plus minus 14. And who were Shuhada? We have 4 from amongst the Ansar and 6 from the Muhajirin. Their names, we find Umayr ibn Abi Waqas, that youngster who was martyred, Sa'd ibn Khaythama, Safwan ibn Wahab, Haritha ibn Suraqa, he was killed by that stray arrow where he was drinking water, Mubashir ibn Abdul Mundir, Dhushamalain, Mihja, the servant of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Aqil ibn Bukair, Rafi ibn Mu'alla, Umair ibn Hamam, the one who said, I cannot eat these dates too long, let me go out and fight and be killed and earn and get my Jannah. Yazid ibn al-Harith, Auf ibn al-Harith, Mu'awwidh ibn al-Harith, Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, many of them, their names, for the first time we are hearing these names, subhanallah. But these were the martyrs of the Battle of Badr. Their names might be alien to myself and yourself, but Allah knows them. The companions knew them. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew them. They were the martyrs in the first battle, the Battle of Furqan, subhanallah. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, as for post-battle, then we find that verses were revealed with regards to the booty, that it was divided, one share for the foot soldier, and two shares for the one on the camel or the one on the horse, one for him and one for the share designated for the animal and its upkeep. We find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even distributed shares for Uthman radiallahu anhu and eight others. They were in Medina, but they got shares. Why? Because they had valid excuses. And subhanAllah, the day the Muslims return to Medina al-Munawwara with this victory, they get the news that they've just finished burning Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was only 23 years old, plus minus 23 years old, when she passed away, the wife of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anha. We find that even shares were allocated to the martyrs, those who were martyred. So their heirs got from those shares. Alhamdulillah. There was a bit of a debate amongst the Sahaba. Some of them said, you know what, we were chasing the enemy and so you people got booty. Others said we were standing guard and so we didn't get a share of booty. That's when the revelation came down and everybody gets equally, alhamdulillah, as per what we discussed. As for the prisoners, as for the criminal prisoners, then plus minus 70 to 74, they were captured and they were taken to Medina al-Munawwara. Remember, from amongst the enemy, they had like 70 casualties dead, killed, and about 70 to 74 taken prisoner. What do we do now? Do we ransom them? Do we execute them? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mashura with the Sahaba. Look at how much of mashura he would make. Discussion with them. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he says that I never saw anyone doing more shura than the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. Umar says, Ya Rasulullah, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh also says the same. Ya Rasulullah, execute them. Give me this family member, give Ali that family member, etc. And let us finish off these criminals so that people know that there's nothing in our hearts that you, my brother, you, my cousin, it is Islam and nothing but Islam. So that's the opinion of Umar and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lean towards the opinion that no, we ransom them. And at least this benefits us financially, benefits us financially. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh that both of you are like Nuh alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, a bit stern in these matters. Whereas you, Abu Bakr, you are like Ibrahim and Isa alayhi salam, subhanAllah. And so eventually they went with the option of accepting ransom, and the prisoners were ransomed for different amounts. However rich they were, obviously the ransom was higher. But subhanAllah, Allah sent down revelation, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى, that it's not becoming upon the Nabi that he has these prisoners. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perturbed. He was in tears. Umar, this Abu Bakr, the same. That you know what? Allah has confirmed that the opinion of Umar was the better opinion. But they already did it. And so it was done now. And subhanAllah, those who couldn't afford to pay the ransom, they had to teach 10 Ansari children how to read and write. Look at the importance given to reading and writings by our Sharia. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you don't have money? No problem. You must teach 10 of the Ansar kids how to read and how to write. Uncle of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Abbas, he was not killed. He says, I'm technically a Muslim. I was hiding my Islam. I was forced. So don't take any ransom from me. I don't have money. He came up with these excuses. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, rather you will pay ransom like everybody else. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle was one of those prisoners. Ransom was taken. Two cousins of his, ransom was taken. Son-in-law, ransom was also taken. Zainab, she sends the chain of her mother, Khadija's chain, which was given to her on her wedding night as the ransom for As ibn al-Rabi, her husband. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees this and then he says to the companions, if you people allow that, maybe set this guy free, set my son-in-law free with the condition that he sends my daughter Zainab to Medina al-Munawwara. And that's exactly what will happen, walhamdulillah. But subhanAllah, eventually when she is on her way to Medina al-Munawwara, her brother-in-law takes her out during the day, and they were attacked by Hubar ibn al-Aswad, and subhanAllah, she had a miscarriage. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha had a miscarriage because she was attacked by that criminal on her way out from Makkah al-Mukarramah, and so they returned back to Makkah and later on left at night when nobody was watching. And we find that some people were ransomed for free because they had no money whatsoever. They had no money, and so they were ransomed for free. Walhamdulillah. The Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said when he looked at those prisoners, he said, if today Mut'im ibn Adi was alive, Mut'im, the one who granted me safety and security when I wanted to enter into Makkah after the trip to Ta'if, if that Mut'im was alive today, that same Mut'im who played a role in ending the boycott upon the Muslims, if that Mut'im was alive, I would have set free all of these prisoners. If he asked me to set them free, I would have set all of them for free, subhanAllah. Jayid, why? Imagine the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembers the legacy of Mut'im. Nothing really occurred here to remind him of Mut'im, but he remembered Mut'im, the legacy of, even though disbeliever, but he was somebody who was good. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered him, as in Sahih al-Bukhari. As for some major criminals, they were executed. Not everybody got the option of ransom. Nadr ibn al-Harith, devil of the first order. 8 times in the Noble Quran, you know, the verses Asatir al-Awwaleen. قالوا إن هذا إن هذا إلا أساطير الأولين. This Quran is only but it's only but stories of the ancients. This Nadr ibn al-Harith used to say that he used to slander Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to say that this is only but the stories of the old people, the ancients, etc. One of the architects of the boycott against the Muslims. He was carrying the flag of the Quraysh. This individual here, he was captured, and on the way to Medina al-Munawwara, eventually he was executed. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was given the order to execute him. This devil, Nadr ibn al-Harith, he is also one of the two who went from Makkah all the way to Medina al-Munawwara before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could make the hijrah, asked the Jews questions, how can we trap Muhammad? Give us some info. The Jews said, ask him the question about the ruh, the soul. Ask him about the question about the man who went to the east and the west, etc. Dhul Qarnayn, etc. Ask him these questions. Ask him about the sleepers in the cave. This Nadr ibn al-Harith is the one who went to Medina to get that info from the Jews, and then tried to trap the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his partner in crime is none other than Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it ibn Mas'ud was the shepherd for this man. He is the one who put the intestines on the back of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who stood on the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in salah. He is the one who spat on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who tried to choke the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was standing in salah. This Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, criminal, stepfather of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, he was also executed by Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He's also one of the two who went to Medina to ask the Jews about those matters. Himself and Nadr ibn al-Harith went together, and how appropriate, now Ali radiallahu ta'ala an given the order to execute both of them, and he did so, walhamdulillah. Another criminal, Tu'ima ibn Adi. Many state that Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he is the one who executed this Tu'ima. And Ajib, look at this Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, criminal, when he was about to be executed, he says, Man li sibya ya Rasulullah? Who's going to look after my kids? Who's going to look after my kids? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nar, the fire. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we covered the matter of the prisoners, we covered the matter of the Muslim martyrs. With regards to the prisoners, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Muslims that, look after them well. Look after them well, and many, many of them eventually become Muslim. Many of them become Muslim. That they were being fed from the food that the companions would eat. Some of the companions would give them preference over the companion himself, because the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be good to them, look after them. We find that Mus'ab ibn Umair, his brother Abu Aziz, Ibn Umair, who was carrying one of the flags of the Quraysh, when he was captured, Mus'ab said to the Ansari, said to the Sahabi, that tie him up nicely. His mother has a lot of money. We'll get a nice good ransom from them. So this Abu Aziz says, my brother Mus'ab, how are you talking like that? You are my brother. How can you speak like that? Mus'ab says, you are not my brother. Rather, the one tying you up, that is my brother. Subhanallah. Look at what Islam did. Look at the bonds that Islam created. Subhanallah. We find that Walid ibn al-Walid, the brother of Khalid ibn Walid, he was captured, he was prisoner. And so his brother Khalid and Hisham came and they paid the ransom and they took their brother all the way to Makkah, al-Mukarramah. And when their brother al-Walid came to Makkah, he fled from Makkah and he comes back to Medina al-Munawwara as a Muslim. And they say, why did you allow your brothers to pay the ransom, etc.? He said, I didn't want anyone to say that I want to avoid the ransom, etc. And so that's why I became Muslim. No, let them pay the ransom. They paid the ransom. At least the Muslim coffers got some money. He went to Makkah and then he escaped and came back to Medina as now a Muslim. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in closing, the implications of this battle, the implications of this battle of Badr, the veterans of this battle, they are the best of this ummah. And even the angels that were present there, they are the best of the angels. This was a victory of truth over falsehood. We find that in Medina, the Jews were not too happy about this. This will eventually lead to the expulsion of the tribe of Banu Qaynuqa very soon, as we will discuss. Because they will say to the Muslims, ha ha ha, you people think that you fought a great enemy? No, 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 those people can't fight. If you faced us in battle, then you would see something. Eventually, there will be a showdown and Banu Qaynuqa will be expelled out of Medina al-Munawwara. The Meccans now, they were ripe for revenge. They were ready for revenge. Hind, she lost her father. She lost her father's brother, her uncle. She lost her brother. She lost her honor and her izzah. And so she takes a vow that she will eat the liver of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Sufyan takes a vow that he will not take a bath until he extracts revenge upon the Muslims. And subhanAllah, it's also said that it is around this time that Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who was not Muslim, he will be the head of the hypocrites. He now outwardly accepts Islam. Because, I mean, the Muslims are victorious in the Battle of Badr and they've destroyed the Quraysh in this battle. Khalas, I'm also Muslim. I'm Muslim. And so he outwardly becomes Muslim. And we know the criminal that he was. Also, subhanAllah, on the same day as the Battle of Badr, miles and miles and miles away, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire, they were locked in a battle. They were locked in a battle, they were fighting, and unexpectedly, the Romans defeated the Persians. The Romans under Heraclius, they defeat the Persians. Why unexpectedly? Because the Persians, they were the superpower at the time. They were on the, they had the upper hand. They were the ones eating into the Roman territories. But here, under the rule of Heraclius, on the same day, they eventually destroyed, or rather, they were victorious in this battle and they destroyed the Persians in this battle. SubhanAllah. And Allah talks about this here, that غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ, that the Romans lost, but eventually soon after, they will be victorious. And this is that victory. And the believers will be happy. Believers are happy twofold. Number one, they got the victory in the Battle of Badr. And number two, they are happy that at least the Christians beat in battle against the pagans. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Post this event, we also had the passing away of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, he didn't participate. He sent somebody else to fight on his behalf. This uncle of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has an argument with one of the slaves of Al-Abbas by the name of Abu Rafi'. And so he hit this Abu Rafi'. And Fadl, the wife of Al-Abbas, she saw this. And so she picked up something and she hit this Abu Lahab on the face. And the story goes that about 7 days later, he passed away. He had some infection, he had a fever, etc. And about 7 days later, he passed away. Remember, Fadl, she is the second woman to embrace Islam. This is the wife of Al-Abbas. This is technically the aunt of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so she hit Abu Lahab on the face, and within 7 days, he passed away. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we also find that in this battle here, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the booty, he got the sword, which is famously known as Dhul-Fiqar. Dhul-Fiqar. Jayid. And this sword eventually is given to Ali radiallahu ta'ala later on in history, and he fights many battles with this sword, Dhul-Fiqar. Just to note that this image that you find of the sword Dhul-Fiqar, which is found in Turkey in the Topkapi Museum, this is the sword which is attributed to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah knows best. Nonetheless, this is the famous supposed sword called Dhul-Fiqar, which belonged to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which he got from the booty in the battle of Badr. As for this famous other image of a sword named Dhul-Fiqar that you find floating around the internet, etc., this is not the sword, with two heads. Dhul-Fiqar, a sword with two heads, two pointed edges. No. In reality, we find that Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi, the one who assassinated Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he had a dagger with two sharp edges, with two heads. And for some sort of reason, Allahu musta'an, this has been mixed up with the sword of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Rather, the one with the two heads was not the sword of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, which was given to him by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's a separate sword. But the sword with the two heads, that one there was the sword or the dagger of Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi, the criminal who had killed Umar the giant radiallahu ta'ala an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, would that be idhnillahi ta'ala, we end this majlis, we end this halaqa, we covered the battle of Badr in detail. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to record our sitting, our learning, our studying in our scales of good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us, resurrect us in the company of those who fought in the battle of Badr. They were the best of the best. Later on in history, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, he will make a mistake and he will do something wrong. Technically, one might call this treason, high treason, but the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will overlook this matter, because he would say that this man fought in the battle of Badr, and maybe Allah looked at the people of Badr and said, do as you wish, for Allah has forgiven you. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah to resurrect us with those who fought in the battle of Badr. We ask Allah to give victory to the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah in this world and in the hereafter. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.